Thank you for joining with us here at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in Enniskillen, County Fermanagh. Wherever you are listening in, our prayer is that the Lord's Word will be a great blessing to your heart this evening. You can listen in online to our ministry of God's Word every Lord's Day. That's every Sunday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And then also every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Just two announcements. Do please pray on for the Graham family. Our brother, the Reverend Westy Graham, went home to be with the Lord last week. Do pray on for his wife, Carol, their children, grandchildren, a wider family circle, that they would know much of the Lord's comfort and grace. Then here in our church, next Lord's Day evening, that's Sunday night, the 31st of May at 7 p.m., our brother, the Reverend Morris Baxter, will be along to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. He and his wife also will be ministering in song. So do pray for that. Make it known and encourage others to listen in to the Word of God at that testimony meeting Sunday night, the 31st of May at 7 p.m. Now, before we turn to God's Word, we're just going to unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal, heavenly Father, we gather, Lord, before Thee in the Savior's precious and worthy name. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for our kinsman, Redeemer. We thank Thee for the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee, O God, for His perfect righteousness, and that Christ is a mighty Savior, one who is alive forevermore. We rejoice, O God, in the forgiveness of sins, in the great hope of everlasting life, and the unsearchable riches of Thy grace to meet our needs day by day. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy presence and blessing with us throughout this Thy day already. And Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word, Lord, speak through Thy Word. And Lord, You have said that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and that through Thy Word, even tonight, believers would be built up in their most faith, that backsliders, Lord, would be restored, and that sinners, Lord, would be converted unto Thee. Bless our congregation here. Be with every family, remember especially the aged, the infirm, the sick, the elderly. Be with them, bless them, and encourage them. Those that mourn and grieve, comfort their hearts. And bless every outreach, Lord, from this congregation to the salvation of souls and the blessing and the forwarding of the gospel in this community. We pray for this town of Enniskillen, this county of Fermanagh, that Thou wilt bless it. Bless right across our province this evening. Bless every faithful ambassador for the Lord. Build Thy church, we pray, and extend Thy kingdom, Lord, in these days. We pray for the Graham family. Give them great comfort and help and strength in these times of sorrow and grief. We think also, Lord, of that Abraham family as well from our church in Portadown. Bless them, minister to them. May they know the goodness, the grace, and the strength of God being their portion. Again, Lord, we give Thee thanks for the stemming of this virus. Continue, Lord, to stem its spread in our land. Give healing to those that are ill with it. Give comfort to those that have been bereaved through it. Give wisdom to our government in dealing with this situation. And Lord, give protection, Lord, we pray, to our medical services. Remember, O God, today our missionaries at home and abroad. Bless them, we pray. Encourage them and meet their every need in the Lord. Bless us now as we turn to Thy Word. Speak through Thy Word to the saving of some soul or souls. Give help in the Holy Ghost to preach Your Word. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, in giving Thee thanks. Amen. Now we're going to turn this evening in God's Word to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 17. And we're reading from verse 22 of the chapter down to the end of the verse number 34. You'll find the book of the Acts in the early part of the New Testament, just after the Gospel of John. We're turning to Acts chapter 17, beginning our reading at the verse 22. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men cleave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Amen. We'll end our reading there, the end of the chapter, and our prayer is that God will bless that reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, the verse I want us to look at this evening is verse 31 of Acts chapter 17. It says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now the Bible speaks of two great certainties that are yet to happen in this world. One of these is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and in great glory. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, there you have the angel of the Lord speaking to the disciples at the ascension of Christ. He says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he's going to receive his people into heaven. Christ told the disciples of that very fact in John 14, verse 3, when he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Also, whenever Christ returns, he will reward his people for their faithful service here on earth. The Apostle Paul, he reminded Timothy of that very fact in his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. When he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Then the other great event yet to happen is God's judgment of this ungodly world for its sin. And that's the event that is spoken about in our text in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. But it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Now in this chapter here before us, Paul is preaching to the people of Athens on Mars Hill. Mars Hill was really like a modern day university, where the great thinkers and philosophers of the day would meet together to debate and to deliberate. And in addressing such people, Paul reminds them that God was their creator, that they owed their very existence to God. Look at verse 28 of the chapter, speaking of God. He says, from him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And then he also tells these people of their own personal need for them to repent of their sins. And repentance really means a turning away from sin. It means a willingness for a person to give up their sin. Look at what he says to them in verse 30 of the chapter. It says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Then following on from this in verse 31, he reminds them of God's judgment day. He says of God, "Because he have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, and that he have raised him from the dead." Yes, God's judgment day is a momentous event that will occur whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. In our world, people often ask questions about things that cannot be answered. Indeed, questions are being asked daily regarding the coronavirus pandemic, and many of these cannot be answered by man. Well, there is one thing that you and I can be absolutely sure of, and that is God's judgment day, the day of God's judgment. As we would consider these words in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, it is this vital matter, this momentous matter of God's judgment day that I want us to look at and to consider. And my, our prayer is for each and every one of you who listen in online, even to this message, our prayer is that you'll be prepared, that you will be ready for that day of judgment. First of all, I want you to notice here the reality of God's judgment day. Acts 17, verse 31 says, "Because he have appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, in that he have raised him from the dead." Despite what ungodly man says, despite what false religions would teach, that verse tells you that God has decreed a day, set aside a day in his calendar, whenever he will judge this world, this ungodly world. Why, just as God judged the world with a flood on the day of Noah, indeed, just as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone on the day of Lot, so God is going to judge this world at the end of time. Yes, as you listen in this evening, remember this, that God most certainly is indeed a God of love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 tells us God is love. One of the great attributes of God is the fact that he's a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "By him actions are weighed." Indeed, it was John Calvin, the great Protestant reformer, said, "We cannot escape the judgment of God." And God states that this judgment day will happen, that it will occur in his calendar, as the resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. You look again at what is said here in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It says, "Of God, because he have appointed a day," that's the day of judgment, "in which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he have given assurance." Notice that phrase there. "Whereof he have given assurance." That's his pledge unto all men, in that he have raised him, that's Christ, from the dead. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third day from the tomb, is but God's pledge. It's the proof, it's the token, it's the evidence that God's judgment day what will come to pass. But along with this, Christ himself, while he was here on earth, he spoke this very truth. He foretold the judgment day of God. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 13, there he is speaking of those cities that would reject him as Savior and reject the gospel. And speaking about them, he says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." There he warns of the certainty, the reality of the day of judgment. Yes, we see here that the judgment day of God is sure, it's certain. It is real, it is fixed. And it will occur at God's appointed time in the calendar of God. But notice, secondly, notice the subjects of God's judgment day. Look again at what is said there in Acts chapter 17, verse 31. It says, because he have appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men, in that he have raised him from the dead. Notice the mention there of that phrase, the world. And that really means all who are without God's salvation. God's judgment day, the saved of God's people will not be judged for their sin. This is because Christ himself, their Savior, their substitute, was judged for their sin when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross and gave up the ghost. The Bible speaks of Christ upon the cross and it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body to the tree. And that speaks of Christ bearing the judgment of God upon himself for the sins of his people on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, in light of that finished work of Christ, Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, in God's judgment day, the saved will not be judged for their sins, because their sins were judged upon Christ when Christ died as their substitute for their salvation upon the cross of Calvary. However, on God's judgment day, all who are unsaved, whoever they are, will be judged. In Matthew chapter 25 and the verse 32, it speaks there of Christ and says of him on the judgment day, before him shall be gathered all nations. Yes, the ungodly of every color, of every creed, of every class in society will face this judgment. Yes, in our world, yes, there have been criminals who have escaped justice. They have escaped the courts and the proceedings of the courts in the land, be it this land or in some other land. But there will be no escaping God's judgment day for the unrepentant sinner, whoever he is, whoever she is. Revelation chapter 20 and in the verse number 13, it says, they shall be judged every man according to their works. The hymn writer says, day of judgment. Day of wonders, hark the trumpet's awful sound. Louder than a thousand thunders shakes the vast creation round. How the summons will the sinner's heart confound. Dear friend, if you are unsaved on God's judgment day, then let me warn you, let me say to you that there will be no avoiding this judgment of God. The reality of God's judgment day, the subjects of God's judgment day. But notice thirdly, notice the evidence that will be used on God's judgment day. What is that evidence? Well, the ungodly will be judged for their deeds done in the body. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 10, that verse says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what they have done, whether it be good or bad. The context there of that chapter, those words there really apply to the judgment of the believer's service here on earth. But those same words have a word of warning to the unsaved as well. And it is this, if you are found unsaved on the day of judgment, yes, you will be judged for every sinful deed that you've done in the body, that you've committed in your body in this scene of time. Not one sinful deed, not one sinful action will be overlooked by God on the day of judgment. Also, the ungodly will be judged for their secret sins, those sins that were done in secret and darkness, so to speak. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, and there Paul speaks of the secret sins of men being judged by God. Again, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 17, the Word of God says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad on the judgment day. Every secret sin that you have committed will be made known by God. You think of how an x-ray or a scan really shows up the inside of a person's body. So all your secret sins, they will be charged against you by God on the day of judgment. You see, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. No sin will be swept under the carpet, so to speak. The Bible also would show us that the ungodly will be judged on that day for their sinful words. Listen to the words of Christ himself in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 36 and verse 37. He says there, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. In the day of judgment, you will have to give account for every angry word, every impure word, every careless word, every untruthful word, every word of slander, every word of gossip. Also, you'll have to give account of every word that you've spoken against the Lord, against His word, His gospel, against His faithful servants. But then the Bible will also show us that the ungodly will be judged for what they have done with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 18, it says there, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, in love and mercy, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save sinners by His atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Indeed, the Word of God says, for He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. And Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came into this world to save sinners by His atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. Well, that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. During the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, Pontius Pilate, he asked the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Indeed, this was the most important question of his entire life. And sadly, indeed, foolishly, the Bible would show us and tell us how Pontius Pilate was one who rejected Christ as his own and personal Savior. And likewise, if you reject Christ as Savior, then in God's judgment day, you too will have to account for what you have done with Christ here on earth. You see, there can be no sitting on the fence regarding this issue. May I tell you, to reject Christ as Savior, it's the worst of all sins that can ever be committed. The hymn writer says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? Yes, the evidence that will be used on the day of judgment. But then in the fourth place, I want you also to notice here the judge on God's judgment day. Look again at our text and you'll see who that judge is. Acts chapter 17 verse 31 says, of God, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Notice that little phrase there. By that man whom He offered in. That man is the man Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Yes, Christ is God's appointed judge for His judgment day. You think of the words of Christ Himself in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 22. He says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. On the day of judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be your judge. This is the same Christ who wrought mighty miracles while he was here on earth. This is the one who was crucified on the cross, who was mocked, who died, who rose again. This is the one who is King of kings, the one who is Lord of lords. Yes, on this earth, in this world, in this scene of time, there have been judgments, and they have made mistakes whenever they were passing sentence or listening to a case. But there will be no error of judgment with Christ, because Christ is sinless. He is perfect. He is all-knowing. He is all-wise. He is the embodiment of perfect truth itself. He could say, I am the truth. If you are unsaved in God's day of judgment, you will stand before this same Christ, the one whom you have despised and rejected as Savior. Yes, you will stand before him whose blood you have trampled beneath your feet. Yes, in the day of God's judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of men, the Savior of sinners, the only one who can do sinners good, he will be your judge if you are found on that day without God's salvation. But finally, I want you also just to think about the sentence that will be passed on God's judgment day. What is that sentence? Well, all who are unsaved on God's judgment day, they will be sentenced to eternal punishment and hell. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 15, about those who are unsaved on that day of judgment. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Again, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 41, we read there about the sentence that will be passed. It says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That will be the sentence that will go from the lips of Christ to all who are unsaved on that day. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Yes, this is the sentence that will be passed upon you if you are unsaved on the day of judgment. Now you'll be cast into hell, the lake of fire. In hell, there will be no escape for you. There are no exit plans from hell. It is a place of outer darkness. It's a place of everlasting torments. Luke chapter 16, verse 22, verse 23 speaks about a certain rich man. And it says, who also died. He died unsaved. And it says, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It's a place of everlasting torments, everlasting pain and woe and anguish. In the book of Hebrews, the question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Without God's salvation in your life through Christ, there can be no escaping hell for you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29 and 31. The Word of God says there, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an holy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And those words there warn you of the awful judgment of hell for all who are found unsaved on the day of judgment. You think of what the little children's course says, oh, how awful the cost should my soul be lost in hell if I die as I am. Well, this is why John the Baptist preached to the people and said, flee from the wrath to come. Friend unsaved, you need to flee from the wrath to come. You think of the warning of Christ himself, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The world will profit you nothing in the day of judgment and the day of accountability before Almighty God. I to come before God on the day of judgment without Christ means that you'll be sentenced to everlasting pain and punishment and woe in the lake of fire, and hell itself. Dear friend, be warned this evening. Listen to the word of God. The Bible shows you that there is a remedy. There is a way of escape from this awful day of judgment. And what is that remedy? What is that way of escape? It's by you now in time repenting of your sins and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation and to save you from your sins. Look again at what is said there in verse number 30 of the chapter. It says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This is God's commandment for you now, tonight, if you're still unsaved, it is that you repent of your sin. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 18, it says, he that believeth on him, that is, he that believeth on Christ, is not condemned. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith you can be saved from the wrath to come on the day of judgment. By now in time you repenting of your sins and putting your faith and trust in Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, who died on the cross, who shed his blood, who rose again, who opened up and provided a fountain for sin and for all uncleanness. Now today, my friend, confess your sins to Christ. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come before the Lord by faith, confessing your sins. Thank him for dying on the cross for you and ask him by faith to save you, to cleanse away your sins by his precious blood that he shed upon the cross. He will hear your cry. Praise God, you will be saved. Saved for time, saved for eternity, saved from the day of God's judgment. You think of the Philippian jailer, he was concerned about his soul, about his sin, indeed about the day of judgment. For he said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Are you concerned tonight about your soul? About your sin, about the day of judgment that is coming, that you are approaching. How can you be saved from your sin? Now in time, look to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May you do so tonight for Christ's sake and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us around thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for help given in the ministry of thy word. Bless thy word, bless thy truth to all who have listened, to all who have heard. We thank thee for the warning from the scriptures of the day of judgment. We thank thee for all who have already made that preparation, who are saved, are sheltering neath the precious blood of Christ. But for any listening in tonight, still unsaved, still not prepared and ready for that day of judgment, that is most surely coming. O God, even tonight, Lord, by thy grace and power, may they close in with Christ, trust him, embrace him as their own and personal Savior. Answer prayer, bless your word to this end. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks. Amen.